listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show online since 1999. It's like I'm doing a commercial for it. I don't know why. I'm your co-host, Brian Kilby. With me this week, I have...
JD Church, as usual.
And how's John Luna.
So, guys, how's it going?
Excellent.
Good. Yeah.
Anything new this week?
Not new for me, toy-wise, as per usual, so...
Well, I mean, anything new? Did anybody have any babies? Anybody get a nice shirt
or
something?
No, not in the last week.
We did start. My wife and I started playing WoW again. I have to confess, but
is that why I haven't saw you online?
No. Come on. I've been around, but somewhat less so. So, but we enjoy it. I've got a lot of friends that I know. A guy that was in my wedding party. I've known from online games, and so we were getting back in touch with him. So it's actually really cool. But yeah.
Is this an online wedding party? I mean, is Amanda like someone that you actually have known, or is this, like one of those online deals?
No. I mean, Amanda's obviously, Amanda's my actual wife. But no, this buddy of mine, we met originally in online games, and the first and only time we've ever met in real life was at my wedding because he was at my wedding party. He was in my wedding party. So, like you would do, I mean, there's people like... This is not uncommon, Brian.
I'm giving you grief.
You like friends?
Come on, man. We're in the Transformers fandom here.
Yeah,
sir.
One of my dearest friends, I know him from Stumble Upon, and I have only met him once, and that was at my wedding as well, so I understand.
Even you and I, Brian, I mean, we've only met once, and you don't even remember. So.
I don't even remember it.
So
yeah, I'm sorry. There's a long story to that, and I'm not going to go into it because I will sob deeply. So, nothing new for me either, except for a couple things. One, JD and I were on the first episode of New Soundwave. Yes, we named the new podcast New Soundwave. We talked about a bunch of random stuff, including Transformers, but check that out. We'll have a new show up Thursday. New Soundwave episode 1 was pretty good. Actually, listening to it, I'm like, oh god, we're nerds. Nobody will want to listen to this. But the response so far has been pretty good. And listening to it myself, it's actually, we knew what we were talking about, or it really sounded like it, so.
It certainly sounds like we do, so.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
John, sometime, do you think you could show up on the new show?
Absolutely. Sure. Give us a quick preview of the episode 1. Like, what were some of the topics?
We talked about Star Trek, where it is, what we like about it, what we don't. Mostly about the new movie and how it affects the universe. We talked about Batman Arkham Asylum, and only one of us had really played the real game at that point. So
nice.
That wasn't necessarily the best conversation.
It's kind of one-sided, I guess.
Yeah, we talked about Spider-Man and the A Brand New Day story arc. I guess it's more of a direction instead of a story arc. We talked about Batman, post-Final Crisis, DC's Blackest Night, District 9, which we got into before, G.I. Joe, and some Masters of the Universe stuff. We talked about Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen. We had a good time. It was... and somehow it managed to last almost an hour and a half, so...
Good stuff.
Yeah, check that out, tfradio.net, and John, we would like to see you on there very soon.
All right, well, you got it. And as far as, new stuff for me, this last week, the only thing that, I guess, is newsworthy, I finally got my Allspark Almanac. What about you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I got it this week. It's gorgeous.
Yes, fantastic.
I paid $13 for it at Amazon. That is a total steal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I just realized I left my copy at work.
Dope.
Yeah, I took it to work today so I could look at it over lunch so that I could actually speak intelligently about it. But obviously, because I'm not speaking intelligently about it, I didn't look at it. But the cursory glance at it, the writing... it's written in character. A lot of effort clearly went into this book, and I can't wait to read the whole thing. So yeah, next week you and I can probably go in depth into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet. Only other thing that happened is, well, actually, it's pretty big. I was on the T-Formers podcast from tformers.com. You can find that at tformers.com/podcast. Or if you're on our Facebook page, you can just find the link. I chatted up Ironhide 1975 and Ze Piper. Their format's different than ours, so we're not really competing. Nobody really competes anyway. But they are very strictly a news show, and that was sort of different for me because I've really never done that. But we had fun. So, yeah, check that out, tformers.com/podcast. And, again, thanks to Ironhide 1975 for asking me to come on. I didn't realize that Ironhide had actually been on Radio Free Cybertron in the past. Of course, back then he went by the name of Bottomus. Anyone remember the Zapformers? That was the online comic that Bottomus did.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. I didn't realize that until we talked for about 5 minutes. See, it's the internet's strange. People using screen names and such. You know, it's kind of easy to. I mean, I just learned XV's name, his full name this year. I've known him for 11 years. And Turin, I have no clue what his name is, and I will never know. But it's interesting on the internet with screen names and such. But yeah, that's basically it for me. Hey, JD, why don't you go ahead and tell us what happened this day in Transformers history?
Sure. Today, this very day, in 1986, saw the premiere of Five Faces of Darkness.
I love Five Faces of Darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I totally do. I mean, yeah. It's the Transformers JD movie we should have got.
And I think Brian and I may have talked about this before, but the problem with that I have is that I never watched it as a kid, so I have no nostalgic connection to it.
It blew my mind as a kid.
Yeah, and I could totally get that. Like watching it, it's big, it's expansive. There's a lot of characters in it. But watching it with a more like adult critical eye, the production value is so low, it really detracts.
No. Mm-hmm. Dude, I probably have the most critical eye here. I am an asshole, and I love Five Faces of Darkness. I think it's great. It's the Transformers movie that we didn't get, and as a kid, I didn't watch Transformers the movie until like 87 or 88. So Five Faces of Darkness is all I had, and I was totally satisfied with it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'll just sit in a corner because I don't know.
I guess it's kind of a love or hate thing. So I guess that's a good thing, I guess, because, it's definitely you either have a strong opinion one way or another about it. I mean, you can't say you don't. So.
The Quintessons are the creators of the Transformers. What's wrong with that?
I mean, I don't mind the Quintessons as like a third faction, but I guess I prefer the Marvel origin for the Transformers. I much prefer the sort of Primus. It's a more epic, other than they were afterthoughts of a very commercial and generally wimpy, race of five-faced beings.
Dude, you're the skeptic. You're the one who, not that you're the only one, but you're the one who thinks that, people just sort of happened about through, evolution. The Transformers, they were tools. They were machines that were just meant to do stuff. You had the war machines, and you had the service machines, and then they just sort of became sentient. I think that's great, and that's way more realistic than some hokey robot god floating in space creating, little robots who love him and who want to worship him.
Well, and again, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm all for, science and reason, but I also
which
know
has no place in the Transformers.
But it also doesn't necessarily make very good fiction. I'm a big fan of old mythical stories. So I'm a big fan of like Norse legend. Even biblical legend or others. I mean, even though I'm an atheist, I still really appreciate that kind of stuff as far as the writing goes. Very epic. And that's what I like about, like I said, the Unicron and Primus origin of Transformers, because it does have that sort of epic appeal. Whereas, I don't know, I feel like this is shoehorned. And it's not because the creation of the Transformers isn't highly addressed in the first two seasons. So So for the show, this essentially addresses it and makes it clear. I just don't prefer it. And so I guess it again, it's just sort of another knock against it for me.
I understand that. I can respect that. I mean, you know, I'm the person who's probably most famous for having these off-the-wall opinions about things. So I totally... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not saying your opinion's off the wall. No, I totally understand and respect that. It's... I guess I like it because I prefer the cartoon somehow to the comics. It's probably because I exposed myself to the cartoons first. I did read some of the comics as a kid, but I never got anywhere near to the Furman stuff. For me, it was still the Robot Master and the Mechanic and stuff like that. So I understand and respect your opinion.
Thank you.
So, yeah, this day in Transformers history, this day, 1986, you said?
That's correct.
That makes sense because Transformers the movie. Five Faces of Darkness. We have actually a really big one coming up here in 2 weeks, and we'll have a special guest on the show for that. And do we want to spoil what that is?
No.
Okay.
You spoiled too much. You gotta leave it, man. Just let it go.
It's huge. It's huge.
It's huge.
Actually, for some people, including me, it's probably the first big thing to ever happen in the Transformers. For me, for when I got into the fandom.
Yeah.
Wow.
I could see that.
And I'll leave it at that. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break, come back here, and we'll talk about a little bit of the news that happened this week.
Arcanine, report to me at once. Every time I look into a monitor, Brian, my circuits get a sizzling and my gristles get a grizzling. And what did you say? I said every time I look into a monitor, circuits get a sizzling.
Okay, yeah, we're not a news show, but we do want to go into the news just a little bit. The big news this week, I guess it's... In general, and we'll hit on it on Thursday on the new Soundwave show, but Disney bought Marvel for $4 billion. $4 billion. And how does that impact the Transformers, you may ask? Well, I could see this impacting Transformers in one of a few ways. You know that we have the transforming... Marvel characters. I have never bought a single one of those, but we have that line here in America. And in Japan, we have Disney label Transformers. I don't really see this negatively impacting Japan so much in the sense that, you know, Disney label would go away because I don't see that happening at all. I do see possibly this impacting the deal that Marvel has with Hasbro, and which allows for these this line of Marvel Transformers. But somehow, some way, and I am not someone who understands copyright law, I don't understand the intricacies of the business deals going down, but maybe this could somehow mean that we have Disney label Transformers in America. And I would think that would be a win-win, really. I totally see Takara, you know, shipping out Marvel Transformers in Japan. I think that's almost certainly a given now. But if they're not already, are they?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Yeah. No. But, you know, we could possibly get the Disney label toys now. I don't actually own the Disney label Mickey Mouse, but looking at him, he's a pretty sweet little toy. He's little, but he's a pretty slick toy. And the upcoming... Disney label Donald Duck, who's also kind of like a Herbie the Love Bug. I mean, he looks pretty good too. What do you guys think? Do you think that we could possibly get something out of this?
Yeah, I think if there's any way that they could get here, I think they will. I mean, I don't think any company is going to, turn down the opportunity to make more money out of that mold and that investment and all the licensees and stuff like that. So yeah, probably. I mean, if this merger makes it any easier for those toys to get over here one way or another, I think it's going to happen. I don't have Mickey Mouse either, but I've kind of tinkered with it and given him a hard look, and it's neat. I mean, it's one of those kind of novelty Transformers that are, I guess, you know, you could say like it's a good conversation piece, or it's, you know, a good desk toy. It's kind of this neat, quirky, like weird footnote in Transformers.
Yeah, I would love to see the black and white version of that come out. That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, JD. I'm sorry.
No, no. I was just going to say, who is Disney doing their own toy distribution here in the States? I mean, a lot of times, well, just like Marvel, Marvel's contracted out to Hasbro.
Other than Winnie the Pooh, and I didn't think I'd ever say Winnie the Pooh on Radio Free Cybertron, but other than that, are there any Disney toys that, you know, anybody actually buys?
Probably not. I don't know. I can't think of any, like, in mass market. Maybe, I mean, who knows, like, what kind of contracts and stuff they have for, who owns the rights for action figures and things like that, but they may not necessarily make them right now.
I know they have them out of their store. I mean, because, mm-hmm. like, even we have a Disney store here, and there's action figures and stuff that you can buy out of that. But I just didn't know who's doing some of their distribution. So, like I said, you know, would it mean that Marvel is going to keep its action figure toy line with Hasbro? I mean, a lot of this stuff is just not going to come out really until all the chips have fallen, until we really know what's happening. At this point, you know, Disney keeps pointing at Pixar and saying, you know, well, it's going to be like that. But it's really not, because this is a whole different ball of wax. I mean, Marvel's got a lot more distribution and a lot more side ventures than Pixar did. So just to say that it's going to be successful because they're going to try not to mess with it just like they did with Pixar, I don't know. There's a lot of other implications. So,
yeah. Honestly, I really don't care if Disney moves away from Hasbro, to be totally honest. I mean, the Disney label stuff is okay. But just as a Marvel fan, I really preferred when Toy Biz did the Marvel toys, but that's neither here nor there. That's more of a conversation for Thursday. Some toys popped up this week in picture that we haven't saw before. The Black Masterpiece Convoy in box. Who cares?
Another Black Convoy.
Yeah, the Henkei, or however you say it, we never figured out how to say it on T-Formers. Strafe, which is a repaint Cyclonus. I'm not, you know, I don't really care for the look of that toy. What do you guys think?
Meh.
It's kind of crazy looking.
Yeah, it's one of those sort of psychedelic, what in the hell toy is this sort of thing. You, JD, weren't you interested in the Black Road Brawl toy?
I was trying to remember which one.
That was in a 2-pack, wasn't it, with the Constructicon?
Oh.
No.
The one in the 2-pack was the Hoist. There's a Hoist.
Oh, yes.
With Mixmaster that's coming out. That's going to be a Toys R Us exclusive. So that's one that showed up this week that looks like it's going to be really nice. That I would not mind getting a hold of for sure.
So I totally wrote down the wrong one. Strike that. Okay.
Strike it from the record.
Strike that one from the record. Masterpiece Skywarp showed up in box today. That's a toy I will definitely pick up because I completely missed Starscream. Wanted him. Yeah, he looks good. He has two heads. He has the Starscream head and the Skywarp head, it looks like. So that's pretty cool.
That's a good mold.
I thought they said it had the two Starscream heads. I think there was some discussion that it had it did not come with the Skywarp head. That the Skywarp head had the kind of R face, and the Starscream head had the kind of smirk, and this one came with a smirk.
I don't read Japanese. Looking at the pictures, though, I mean, they showed the one with the sort of R face and the one with the smirk. So I just assumed that those were both the Walmart issue Skywarp. But stay tuned, and we'll never mention this again. Who cares? I know you saw this, JD, because we talked about this last week or this week. The Transformers watches, those are swank.
Oh, I want one so bad. The Decepticon one looks awesome, but on top of that, the tin looks really cool. Like, I would hang the tin on the wall. It looks nice.
Yeah, as far as stuff like that goes, this is like several notches above what we usually see for stuff like this, you know?
Yeah, usually, I mean, well, occasionally you'll get something really nice. Like, the Hard Hero busts are actually pretty slick. The Nike shoes are pretty slick looking, which, if those ever come out. But, like, the Transformers keychains, those are crap. So, yeah, getting this licensed, these licensed watches, those really do look good. I would almost be willing to wear one of those in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And
almost.
Almost. I don't actually have a dressy watch. I've wanted to wear one of my Autobot symbol Tytac to the last two weddings that I went to, but I got voted down both times. But I would totally wear that to a nice pressed shirt and pair of slacks. I think that would be totally, you know, reasonable. I wouldn't wear it with a suit, and definitely I wouldn't wear it in a tux. But sort of a laid back yet still formal kind of look. Mm-hmm. I think that really pulls it off.
Yeah, my concern on these is I'm wondering what the price tag is going to be. These are a limited edition. They're going to be limited between 500 to 1,000 pieces. So,
yeah, it's not that many.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
No, it's not. So. It's not like the Decepticon Luau shirt, which everybody and his brother has.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually sent Kim an email at work when these popped up, and I said, buy me this for Christmas. And it was the Decepticon, because I think that's the nicest one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Yeah, I think that's it. Oh, well, one more thing. This morning I came across, I've been reading Alt Toys Transformers again, and I was looking for some old posts, and I couldn't really find what I was looking for, but I did come across this History of Usenet article that Google put out back in 2001. It's this really geeky history of Usenet in posts. Then Hooper X sent me the first Transformers reference on Usenet, which goes back to 1984. It's actually a review of Transformers number 1, and it is cynical as hell. If I was reading beyond like a first grade reading level at that point, I could have sworn that was me. But it goes back all the way to 1984. I will post the link to that. You saw that, JD. That kind of reads like something I would have written.
Yeah. Well, any of us almost, but yeah, it's definitely very cynical. But I think it lasts in an odd way. I think it. What's funny is, and sort of going back to the discussion about like Five Faces of Darkness, going back to say those early comics, like here's a perspective of someone who obviously does not have years of nostalgia behind them. You know, they're picking it up as issue one, and it's sort of a what the F response that I think when you go back is sort of the response that you have to some of that earlier material. But
he takes it for face value. And so, I mean, that's valid. I mean, it's really snarky and kind of what you would expect from the time, I guess.
Worst comic ever.
You know, yeah, basically. Yeah. But, you know, it still holds up. It's really interesting.
Sadly, I actually like that comic, so I kind of disagree with him, but I understand where the dude's coming from. And check that link out at tfradio.net. We'll have that up by the time you listen to this. So, that's not much in the way of news this week, and there's more stuff, but nothing really worth talking about. We'll be right back.
Radio Free Cybertron!
Okay, the main topic we wanted to discuss this week, and this was JD's idea, so I'm going to let him start it off. It's repaints.
Sure. Well, and we sort of talked about a little bit in the news that there's a lot of repaints and a lot of those items coming out. It just got me thinking about the sort of history and what we've had and what we're seeing as far as repaints. I say repaints. I know technically it's redeco. A repaint would be a physical paint application, blah, 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 whatever. We call it repaints. It kind of made me think, what are the good, what are the bad, what are the ugly of repaints in history? And what's interesting is it goes all the way back to year one, because even within the Generation 1 first series, I mean, the Seekers are essentially all redecos of the same figure. So what are maybe some of you guys, Brian and John, what are your favorite repaints or your favorite redecos?
Go ahead, John.
Well, let's see here. Some of the best ones. You know, I think as a general rule, the best repaints for me are the ones where they are definitely either a new character. I'm not such a big fan of, you know, the redeco of the same character, just, you know, representing like, you know, a specific moment in time or
Shining Magnus.
Yeah, or he was dropped in lava and now he's covered in lava, so he's orange. You know, these kind of odd, like, made up things. I'm a fan of just about any repaint, redeco, whatever. So as long as it's got some thought put into it, and, you know, even better if it's a new character. And, you know, I mean, people make a big deal of the head, you know, like they can't buy a repaint as a new character unless it has a new head inexplicably. But for the most part, you know, Transformer molds are, I guess, generic enough that, you know, if you switch the colors around and, you know, move the colors here and there, you know, I can easily buy most molds as different characters. And so, you know, those are my favorite, generally speaking, those are my favorite examples of how to do a repaint.
You know, in theory, I 100% agree with that. In practice, my favorite two repaints, one of which I don't own, I sought it out, never was able to get it and afford it. But my two favorites were the Fox Kids Transmetal Tarantulas, which I think we called him Formal Wear Tarantulas or something.
Tuxedo Tarantulas.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that toy just looked great. Same character, inexplicably repainted, but he looks fantastic. And the and I don't even remember what we call it. It's not City Commander Ultra Magnus. It's Powered Convoy, Diaclone Powered Convoy.
Yeah, Diaclone. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the one
yeah.
that represents Ultra Magnus, basically from the original promotional footage from Transformers the movie, which I remember when I first saw that back in the day. That blew my mind. It had the Victor Caroli voiceover explaining in the epic tradition of Star Wars, you know, in the epic tradition of ripping Star Wars.
It's like
off
several minutes long too.
Yeah, that's, you know, I bet there's a lot of people who are listening to this that never saw that.
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, because this is, you know, 10 years after really the proliferation of the internet. When stuff like that was just popping up. So yeah. we'll find that and link to it. If you've not watched that, that's a classic bit of Transformers history.
Yeah.
But Takara, when they and Takara has been great, and I'm being slightly sarcastic and slightly truthful, been great about repainting G1 toys as they've been reissuing them. So when they after they reissued Ultra Magnus, they released Shining Magnus, which represents Ultra Magnus holding the Matrix upon the death of before the death of Optimus Prime in Transformers the movie, as well as the Diaclone Ultra Magnus, which represents the Ultra Magnus from that promo video. But they have done way more than that. I mean, there's too many to even count.
All the e-hobby repaints, all those weird random repaints for one.
Yeah, like the Dion and what is it?
I think it was Orion.
Orion Pax and Dion, which makes no sense. I mean, it's Cup and Wheelie repainted, and you know, I have that, and it's just kind of ridiculous. But they also did the GoBots repaints when they did the which I had, and I think I sold it to Phil or somebody, which was the Minibots that were repainted into all these characters like Bug Bite and all that. Those were actually really good. Those were interesting. Those were an actual interesting use. But typically, Takara just makes a character black, kind of not black in the sense of their ethnicity, but in the sense of their paint job, like that masterpiece Black Convoy that's coming out. So mostly Takara's been doing like all these weird nonsensical reissues. But yeah, so the Diaclone Ultra Magnus, I really dig that GoBot set and Tarantulas. Those are my three favorites.
I'm a big Skywarp fan, so any of the Starscream, you know, repaint as as Skywarp, which is black, I guess.
Black and purple.
Black and purple. There, you can't go wrong with black and purple, right?
Looks great together.
But yeah, and I agree. Like, I liked that GoBot set. That was really interesting, especially since Hasbro now owns GoBot. So, I liked the another one that I'll mention that I thought was nice and was interesting was when was the blue rat trap that they did
Walrat.
Walmart exclusive. Yes.
Ah, yeah.
Walrat. I don't think I ever opened that or actually know where it ended up. But
that was huge trade fodder for me. I remember trading that for I bought like a dozen of them and traded them with people. I got a Perceptor out of that. I got so many toys out of that.
I think I remember when you had like a case of them.
Yeah, I bought
you just kept trading using Mallrat, Walrat. I couldn't understand why you weren't like running out or like how could you trade the same toy 10 times in a week.
My Walmart was awesome back in the day.
Yeah, that's and I think the really interesting thing about that particular repaint is that it became Transmetal Pack Rat. Based off of the BotCon exclusive. Was what a lot of people considered that figure to be.
Or Tripredicus Agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tripredicus Agent. And that was the other one I was going to mention was any of the Shadow Panther or Transmetal 2 Cheetor that was done in black.
Do I quote Ravage Three Bodies Evolution or not? Better
yeah.
not.
No? Okay. That was actually that's a side story on that. My first attempt at a kit bash was trying to make a black Transmetal True Cheetor, and I succeeded. I took a Scarum figure and switched the crystals in them, and ended up making a better figure, which was the Goldbug. Whatever, but anyway, I digress. So those would be some of my favorites. What are some bad repaints other than the blacks? I mean, we've talked about black repaints. What are some of the ones that are sort of throwaways for you, John?
In the same line as formal wear Tarantulas was Fox Kids Waspinator, which was that baby blue chest. And yeah. I think like half of him was like just, you know, colored just as the original Waspinator, but he had this inexplicable like powder blue kind of like thrown on him. And so that was kind of like, that kind of went without explanation. And then, you know what? So, I mean, I think, you know, if you want to be really recent, Strafe is one. I mean, it's really hard to recolor classics molds. I mean, now those are some molds that are like very clearly the character, and that's probably where like a lot of repaints like go wrong. It's just picking the wrong mold, and classics is probably a really easy line to do that.
Yeah, classics. I want to actually one of my favorite repaints actually came from the classics, and I know I've talked to JD in the past about this, but Overkill. The repaint of Grimlock. I saw that on Hasbro. What is it? It's not Hasbro Collector. That's their old website. Hasbro
Toy Shop.
Yeah, I saw that and I just fell in love. I had to own that and I got it. And, you know, it's as close a reproduction of a cassette Transformer as you can make with a classics Grimlock, and I am pretty happy with it. The packaging is also really nice as well. So that's also one that I dig quite a bit. But yeah, Strafe, not so good.
Not so great. You know, it's interesting to think that I guess within the last 8 years or so that, you know, repaints are responsible for like two of like the most frequently used and kind of like iconic characters modern fiction, I guess, which would be like Sunstorm and then Nemesis Prime. And, I mean, those started with just kind of random repaints. Not so much random. Sunstorm was pretty random. But, you know, Black Optimus. I guess Shadow Panther is technically like the first black repaint. I don't know. But definitely
Probably.
Black Convoy is the one that like started like the wave.
And he's a beautiful toy.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it was a good start. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, people love or hate black repaints, and a lot of that probably has to do with just that there's so many of them. But for the most part, I mean, they at least look decent. If not, they may bore some people, but they at least look good, you know, well, I guess on their own merits.
If they just make the toy black and have a couple of touches of red, it's boring. But yeah. Black Convoy is not just a black repaint. He is like a we're going to take the Laser Prime mold and we're going to make him black. No, they actually went in and colored it. I mean, the touches of green. He's just a great looking toy. And I will actually say this. I don't know how I forgot about this, but to me, the most important repaint of all time is a black and orange repaint. Yes, people, I'm talking about Big Daddy.
Yes.
Big Daddy. Okay. Big Daddy was the leader of the Hot Rod Patrol from Micromasters. You know, you may think, oh, he's just sort of this throwaway character. He didn't even get his own tech spec. I mean, the Micromaster, Hot Rod Patrol all shared one tech spec. But, you know, just the idea that the name Big Daddy would be applied to a Transformer, and he was this hep cat, Weegee, and I would say primarily Hooper X, but Weegee kept lobbying for years for Hasbro at, you know, BotCon to reissue or, you know, have a new Big Daddy. And after, gosh, probably six or 7 years.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, Aaron Archer was like, okay, here's your Big Daddy. And they could not have picked a better mold. It's perfect to the letter. He is such a fantastic toy. He was a Walmart exclusive. He was initially hard to come by, but I wound up getting 3 or 4 of him. I love him.
And talking about the classics, I think you're right. Those have been some of the most repainted as of late, just because they've been highly available. And I think you're right. There's been hit and miss. I mean, we talked about Skyfall just a few weeks ago as being, you know, a good example of a repaint, which is black and red, but whatever. But that's also had, you know, what was it, Treadshot? Was it Tread?
Mm-hmm.
Which I was not very excited about. I mean, there are so many on the bad list as far as just throwaway. To mention, I don't know that we could spend a whole show just on bad ones, but let's.
Just I want to point out again, Skyfall. If you missed the show, he is a red and black repaint of a classic Silverbolt, who is just sort of this boring toy. But what they do is they repaint him black and red, and he is an homage to Skyjack, the Cyberjet from Generation 2. And it's just so inspired. It completely changes that toy. And I think the best repaints are the ones that can take a toy that isn't so great, or maybe even one you already like, and sort of turn it, do a twist on it and completely turn it around. And I think that is probably the best example recently of a toy that does that.
So, yeah. So what about the ugly? What are the really nasty ones? What are the ones that we wish would never have happened?
I'm kind of torn on this one, and I want to say that he's great, and I also want to say that he's not. But it's Super Primal Prime. He's an okay repaint of a okay looking but large toy, and I mean. One hand he's kind of garish, but another hand he's Optimus Prime. So it's kind of I don't know. I don't think they ever explicitly said that he was Optimus Prime. They hinted at that in his tech spec, but he was one of the first toys that really sort of went back to sort of. If I'm not mistaken, okay, Grimlock the Beast. Another repaint. Beast Wars Grimlock.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be Grimlock.
Yeah,
and they kind of hint that Beast Machine Super Primal Prime is, you know, like a ancient warrior, ancient hero. I can't remember what it said. But they sort of animate that he's Optimus Prime. And mm-hmm. He's also the same color, and he's also kind of ugly.
I thought my understanding was that it was a that he was Matrix empowered, that he was sort of a collective, sort of like a legion almost of former primes.
We are prime, we are many.
Something like that, yeah.
That may be like right.
Yeah. He definitely had a bigger story than was like expected up until that point. You know, he was definitely had like a history to his story that they were trying to go for.
Looking at a toy act, well, sort of jumping the shark. I don't even know what that phrase means. I just hear people say it all the time. So another toy that I really dig, I think they did a great job of repainting, it was Galvatron from Energon, because I didn't much care for Megatron, and it's obvious that that mold was supposed to be Galvatron, and when they released it as Galvatron, it was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a really common, I think, amongst the it was an odd thing for that Unicron trilogy, because I think the original Megatron tank worked really well as Megatron, did not like it as well when it was repainted into Galvatron. Energon, absolutely right, didn't work as well as Megatron, but when it was repainted into Galvatron, worked a lot better. Then you go into Cybertron, and I think the opposite again. I liked it better under the Megatron colors, and not as much as Galvatron. So, yeah. And that was a whole other thing that Hasbro got flack for, was the obvious Megatron repaint into Galvatron, just to capitalize on multiple molds. And other than the Energon, I don't think it added anything. The other two did.
No, not really. I will give them credit for, in all three of those lines, it was either Megatron or Galvatron, one or the other, sometimes both, but at least one of them in each of the lines at least had a slightly different take on the traditional color scheme. So like Cybertron, Galvatron, he was this shiny silver with touches of black and orange. And so it was a little bit different. And, Armada Megatron was, this green tank. He wasn't like G1 Megatron colors. So, I mean, at least they tried a few different things in those lines. But yeah, it got kind of repetitive by the third time, especially.
Talking about ugly or bad repaints. This one's a repaint and I guess an expansion. It's Ultra Magnus. I mean, you took the Convoy mold, the Optimus Prime mold, then you just made it white. And lo and behold, it's a new character.
Yeah, and I think that's any of the white Convoy as Ultra Magnus, I think, are throwaways. I think they're at least as much of a throwaway as the black Convoys.
Every single one.
The only one that I will give a pass to is Classics Ultra Magnus. And that is only because, well, the only reason I'll qualify it is it has to be with the upgrade kit. It has to be with the Fan Projects City Commander upgrade kit. If it has the upgrade kit and actually looks like, Ultra Magnus as we know it, I think that works. But as far as Hasbro's product, I think it's a complete throwaway. It doesn't work. Inevitably, it's probably going to fade and not look very good later on. But even at that, it's not Ultra Magnus. Everything that we know of this Ultra Magnus is in the armor. So,
do you know what we're overlooking in talking about bad repaints? Generation 2.
Yeah, I thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some questionable judgment in that line.
Turquoise Grimlock. Red Grimlock. Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's a red Grimlock. There's a turquoise Grimlock. There's red slag, green slag.
It's kind of a love or hate thing, especially like, say, take the Combaticons, which were neon, every shade of neon possible.
Yeah, I kind of like the Combaticons. I like the orange on slot. He's okay. We had to talk about the orange Constructicons, and that works. I mean, that works. I have no complaints there.
Yeah.
But, what color was Starscream? Was he blue, or?
It's almost like a white.
Oh, gosh. I can't remember. I'm trying to blink, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not very memorable. Now, Dirge was, purple and teal, I think. Or was that Ramjet? No, I'm thinking of Ramjet. Ramjet was purple and teal.
The only one that kind of sort of made sense, and it was sort of easy to do, was Optimus Prime. I mean, he's the same toy, just with a slightly darker shade of blue for the legs, and a black trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And the little voice box.
Which is appreciated, I guess, you know. Something.
I'd on the ugly side, though, I think I have to go with say Universe's Silverbolt or something along those lines. Some of those Universe, the first set of Universe that they did, where they started to do the really odd repaints of Beast Wars, like that purple Silverbolt.
Yeah, I with the Universe, with the first wave of Universe, I did appreciate the Energon surges on them, or some kind of unifying paint app. I appreciated that in theory. I think that was an interesting idea. Sometimes it worked better than in other cases, but I thought that was an interesting idea.
I had to pull this out. I'm sorry. I think this is the second time I've actually pulled that out on Radio Free Cybertron. It's the same one, too. But, yeah, the original line of Universe toys, like the brown Optimus Primal, the brownish, Razor Claw? It's Razor Claw.
Yeah, Razor Claw. Yep.
Just ugly. Ugly. Then you had some like the I'm drawing a blank. It's the white repaint of Skyquake. It's got one of those Latinish, Greekish sounding names.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. But keep going. You're on a roll.
Yeah. So he's okay, but most of those early Universe toys are kind of garish. But I still love Universe anyway. I'll buy every single one I see. I'm a sucker.
Well, and I think that's what it ultimately comes back around to. I think that's where the whole conversation comes back around to.
It comes down to Brian's a sucker.
Brian is a sucker. Yes. No. That despite the repaints, I think, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I pick them up, I'll buy them if I've got the money. In particular, if it's something that's a repaint of something that I don't have or that I missed out on, I'll find myself picking them up and buying them anyway, even if they aren't the best representation of that figure. Mm-hmm. And I will continue to do that into the future. So, like I said, I had to buy Classics Ultra Magnus because it came with Skywarp. So,
Yeah, I did that too. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to Rob. Rob is reviewing. A couple weeks ago, he reviewed the Andrew Luke comic book, and that's exactly how it's spelled. So he pulled out another fanzine. I don't know which one this is because I don't know anything about fanzines. I can admit, a deficit. Take it away, Rob.
Hey, everybody. This is Rob for Radio Free Cybertron. And today I would like to review an old fan comic, reviewing, Andrew Luke comic book a couple weeks ago has made me kind of a little nostalgic for some older fan comics or whatnot. And I went through digging through some of my boxes of books and whatever, and I found this, little book. The story is actually called Universe of Primacron. It was originally printed, it was originally made in 91 and, it was reprinted in Doujinshi, however you say Japanese fan comic, that word, I'm not sure. Issue 2 here in America, Doujinshi, hey, all right, issue 2. It was reprinted there, and years later, it's written by Stars 104A, if you guys remember him. He's pretty I am all tongue-twisted today. He's a pretty popular Japanese fan artist who's done a lot of official work. It's one of his things. He actually decided to reprint this thing to have something to sell at BotCon 98, if I'm reading his little forward here right. So instead of putting out any other of his comics or writing a new one, he took this story and reprinted it into his own comic series called Epoch of the Cybertron, Robots Home Planet. And this would be issue number 0. I guess he figured since it was a reprint, no reason to give it a new number, or maybe plan to make it a continuing story, which he didn't do. It's just a one-shot deal. There's only 1,000 of these out there. I'm not sure if Doug Glenn has any of these left or not. Write him an email if you don't know his email off the top of your head, and I don't have it memorized. Just Google up Japanese Transformers Dojinishi or whatever. This will be the first thing that pops up, is the page selling this in Chronicles of Cybertron, which he's been out since 2002. Those have been sold out, and for good reason. That is a great little comic. But Epoch of Cybertron is pretty fun, too, and he might have a few of these left. Honestly, there's not a BotCon that goes by that I don't see at least one copy of this for sale somewhere. And I'm pretty sure if Doug's out, you could probably do a little work and find you an issue. Not sure how much it fetches for, but Doug wants about $5 for it. Not too shabby. Yeah, actually, that page's name is bigbot.com/Doug. Yeah, I believe that's the web address for the actual selling of this. Doug might have some left. I'm kind of surprised Big Bot still has that page up, because if anyone's ever looked at Big Bot since the AllSparks went up, basically, it's pretty much just a bunch of links to Amazon and Netflix these days on the front page, and the side page are just kind of there. What's left of the old site. So I'm kind of surprised it's still up. But yeah, it's still up. The comic itself, it's got a little forward and an afterword of Stars basically explaining what he was thinking when he wrote this. Basically going by what he knew of Primus, Unicron, and Primacron at the time. And basically all he knew was the episode called The Primitives. Which, you know, it's from Season 3 of the original Generation 1 cartoon. For us, or as they know in Japan, Transformer 2010, Transformers 2010, which was their version of the third season, which the same show. I don't know why I keep saying their version. Called the Primitives episode, which, as we all know, is the really beautifully drawn episode about the origin of Unicron. That is, while beautifully drawn, is very stupid. In fact, I think everyone's went out of their way to try to act like that was just a sneeze and a practical joke, despite being beautifully drawn. And Takara made a nice, in their retcon of it in the official continuity that they did in 2007, they did a nice way of explaining some stuff and it made it make sense. You know, I know a lot of us used to try to work it and make just kind of work the old cartoon into making sense where it didn't. Which took a lot of reach. In fact, at the end of the old understanding of the cartoon, you almost needed a book to read the new understanding of it while watching the cartoon to make sense of some of these where we made it seem as deep as we thought it should be. But it wasn't. But this comic, it's basically, Stars, pretty much lets everyone know at the time, only thing they knew of Primus in Japan at the time was he was an adversary to Unicron. That's not a direct quote, but basically, at the time they wrote this, that's what they knew of Primus. Being that he was an invention of Simon Furman, and those issues never really, when they did make it to Japan, the writing was dumbed down for small children. So, you know, he kind of had to work a lot on his own. And basically the story has Primus being the assistant from Call of the Primitives. But this is a prequel, so this is when Primus has his robot body. And he's essentially just in the comic, he was an android that Primacron had made that at some point had rebelled against Primacron and was leading an assault against Primacron. Who is basically, he created his project Universe of Primacron, which, you know, put those words together, you get Unicron, and that's basically his monster planet Unicron that he plans to use to take over the universe. And the main story of the character is this female character, whose name I cannot just roll off the tip of my tongue because it's a series of letters and numbers. She's on the cover of the comic. She's Primus's wife, if that makes any sense, and if you're been into Transformers this long, you don't question things like that. She's essentially There's a part where she remembers Primus saving her, where she was also a assistant of sorts to Primacron, and she had fulfilled her duties, and Primus, before she was to be, I guess, recycled or whatever, requested that Primacron let her be his partner. So Primacron thinks this is hilarious and makes her Primus's wife. Which, you just kind of go with it, you know? You just kind of go with it. So, she's remembering it. And during the time she's remembering this, apparently the whole fleet was destroyed. No one took notice that this fleet that they were watching battle was completely destroyed by Unicron. So the one survivor comes, who kind of looks a lot like Jazz, to be truthful. He looks pretty similar to Jazz. And the guy who notices they're coming on the computer looks a lot like a battle beast. So there's a little nod there. Oh, I'd like to notice Primus and his pages in the comic. Despite them having a loose knowledge of Primus at the time, he still kind of looks like a Rodimus Prime a little bit. He kind of looks like a cross between Rodimus Prime and the old Micromaster Road Handler. Is it Road Handler or Road King? But, yeah, he doesn't look that off of what Primus looked like at the time in the Marvel comics. So good job there, Stars. There's not really much Transformer stuff here other than Primacron and Unicron and Primus, so a lot of it's fan characteristics, and most of them are just aliens and robots in space. I'm sorry, I digressed. So, the survivor of this attack talks the female character into coming, but she pretty much feels like she should stay behind on this planet and be destroyed, since her pretty much purpose in life to be Primus's partner is over, so she should die. And he says, in some way, I'm sure he kept you for some reason. And honestly, I don't know if this is foreshadowing some future story that Stars had in mind or what, but it kind of seems like it. And they all leave, and Unicron destroys the planet. And during this time, Primus is giving him orders, and Unicron has apparently become self-aware. And basically tells Primus to go stick it up his ass. Destroys Primus's little floating base thing, which leaves Primus alive, but his pride hurt and all that, which is divine punishment somehow. And then Unicron's floating around how everything in the universe will be part of him, which is kind of gross. And that's the comic. And there's a nice little after part where Stars kind of explains himself more what he was going for, and he has an original sketch of the female character and his original idea for the story involving her, but he changed it to what we have now. And then there's some tech specs of some fan characters Stars made. And these things are pretty well great. I mean, just pretty great. The art looks amazingly good. It's black and white drawn. Well, Stars' work is usually really good anyway. This is no difference. It's two Decepticon Power Masters. One of them's a Nebulon partner, or I guess human. He keeps calling them human component. His name is Breakfast. Well, his name is Break-Fast. You know, it's two action words. He's breaking fast. It's action-y. But when you put those two words close together, and when some big dumb guy from the South like me reads it, it comes off as Breakfast. That is funny. I love having heroes named Breakfast. Breakfast and Exo-Pork. I want more of those. You hear me, Hasbro? Yeah. So he has those. He has a fun little survey that he wanted fans to take after reading the comic and send it to him. And, you know, first couple of questions are, what'd you think of the comic? How could it be better? Why not? But then the rest of it pretty much reads like one of those old fan surveys. fan purity tests or fan code generators that used to kind of float around the fandom in the 90s, and people would copy and paste results onto their message forum posts or on their GeoCities or AOL Hometown sites to show what kind of Transformers fan they were. It kind of reads like one of those. And there's a nice little afterword. Oh, and if anyone remembers Precious, Stars is a fan character Precious, who used to use a little bit more often in the older days or whatnot. He's got a little bit about her in there, too, just mainly a picture or two and a little blurb about her. Thought that was neat they threw her in. I guess, hey, it's the fan character he's more known for at the time, so gave her a little shout out there. As well, there's a little extra art of her in the afterwards section of the text where he's explaining things. And on the back cover, we have a very fun Marvel Transformers Universe style bio of Primacron, which kind of explains his whole divine punishment from Unicron, a little bit more in-depth theory, as well as the potential that Primacron's basically like Batman. He can breathe in outer space, which is amazing. But yeah, this is a fun little comic. Like I said earlier, if you want this thing, you could probably still get it without too much work. And, you know, unless you just don't like either A, going back in time to older days of the fandom, or B, don't like fan-made products. You know, there's people out there like that. You know, don't bother. But if you do, hey, get this thing. I mean, I'm sure if Doug has any copies of these left, he'd like to get them out of his basement by now. It's a fun little book. So, yeah, that's it on that one. And while I got you guys here, I'd like to send a quick personal thanks out to Crazy Steve. Crazy Steve, as a lot of you guys know, is been around forever. And he's just an all-around fun guy, great guy. And he's a pretty good fan of RFC. And I'm pointing out to say thank you, Steve, because he made a point recently to point out that he really enjoys my segments. So, hey, thanks for the high five, Steve. Nothing like a little pat on the back from a great guy, huh? So, this is Rob for Radio Free Cybertron, and...
Back to you, Brian Cuban, Radio Free Cybertron, yeah! Ooh, I drink gasoline and breathe fire,
And, thank you there, Rob. Yeah, thanks to Crazy Steve for the comments. Crazy Steve's been, like, one of the biggest RFC fans and proponents over the years, and we thank him for his continued support. Like we said last week or the week before, at some point in the past, Rob posts to our Twitter feed, twitter.com/TFRadio, the RFC Twitter Theater. That's where Rob picks, typically at random, an episode of a Transformer series, and then we talk about it on the show. And this week's show was Victory, episode 2. And I'm not a huge fan of Victory. Honestly, the thing I like best about Victory is early on when they had that scene that took place in the Old West, and I was watching it with those, you know, virgin trans fan eyes, and I'm like, this is the best Transformer series ever. Why didn't we get this series here? This is so much better than everything else that's come before it. Of course, then after, you know, watching a couple episodes, I'm like, this really sucks. I'm glad this didn't come here. So, did you guys watch it, or what do you think about Victory in general? Because, like I said, I'm not too crazy about it.
Well, I mean, it's a big mind trip. I guess that kind of sums it up, you know?
Yeah, it's a different kind of mind trip than say Master Force was, where
that's true.
Headmasters was just fun. It was basically a continuation of 2010 or season 3. Master Force, though, went in an entirely different direction. It was this sort of boring, you know, humans versus Transformers sort of story. Then you had Victory, which just, you know, goes even farther into the sort of strange anime sort of vibe, and
yeah,
it just
Japanesey.
Yes,
it's very Japanese, and it loses me.
I don't know. I liked. I mean, that's, you know, I like anime, and so I appreciate some of those elements. I found myself, you know, laughing at the Dino Force, and
you
and
are
some
the
of those
only
elements.
One.
somebody enjoyed it then.
No, the Triceratops guy is hilarious. Come on. Come on, you grew up a fat kid, you know what it's like to lag behind and
yeah, of course I was watching Muppet Babies, so who am I to argue?
You were sheltered.
But no, I don't, and like I said, I'm not very far into Victory. I'm in the process of watching. I'm almost done with Headmasters and working my way through, but I have seen a few episodes of Victory.
Are you watching dubs or subs?
I'm watching subs.
Dude, the dubs. I'm like the biggest evangelist for the RTM1 dubs. Watch the dubs.
Yeah, you are. You're a big advocate for this.
I know. You love them so much. And I can't do it. I don't even watch anime. If I have it on DVD, I even watch that with subtitles. So,
see, this is a hardcore fan speaking right here.
So yeah.
I'll typically watch the subs of something if I really think there's any sort of intellectual merit to it. So like Grave of the Fireflies, I have never watched that dubbed. Never will. But Transformers Victory or Master Force? Oh God, I'm totally going to watch that dubbed. I mean, it makes it better.
That okay. that's a matter of opinion, sir.
Well, I guess what's not a matter of opinion is just, I mean, like how, like as we talked about, like as it progresses, it gets more and more, Japanese, kind of sum it up.
I would actually say, unlike my use before, this is actually an appropriate use of the term jumps the shark, because I think it really does.
It helps to be actually mentally prepared for that, because I think I was when I watched this. This brand of Transformers, and so I was kind of expecting this, you know, I was basically expecting anime, like a sci-fi anime that happened to be about Transformers, and that's kind of what it is by the time it's done.
Yeah, it totally is.
But it's certainly not as anime as, say, something like Car Robots.
Or Beast Wars 2 or Beast Wars
Neo. No, not that extreme. But I guess, you know, if it veers one way or the other, it's definitely like, you know, towards like traditional anime or sci-fi anime. It kind of starts following those conventions a lot more as it goes on.
Yes, on the spectrum. Yeah, if you want to talk about the spectrum. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then I guess a little farther into the anime spectrum, I guess, is Zone, which got one episode of Zone. It really didn't go any farther than that. But what is it? Battle the comic from TV Magazine that featured Super Megatron and Star Convoy. Was it Battle Stars?
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
Yeah. I always kind of wondered what an anime of that would have looked like. Because I remember when I first got into the fandom, I was reading voraciously as much as I could, and I saw pictures of Super Megatron, and I thought, oh man, that's like really Megatron. He was really rebuilt into Super Megatron. That's awesome. I can't wait to watch that. And of course, I found out shortly thereafter that it never made it past TV Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
Yeah.
Totally sad. Okay, we're done with that. Let's go ahead and wrap things up. Any final words or final thoughts, gentlemen?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, good.
Okay, well, check out the new show Thursday. Or, you know, this is the internet. It's not like it. You have to watch any specific time. Just go to tfradio.net. Look for New Soundwave. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for our Facebook page and our Twitter feed as well. And just go ahead and subscribe. I mean, use iTunes. If you like iTunes, use it. If not, subscribe via RSS or Zencast or Booty Call or whatever you guys use to listen to podcasts these days. So I guess that's it for us, for the gang. This is Brian Kilby signing off. See you guys next week.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?